Hello, and thanks for listening to the 8th episode of our Talking Alexa podcast. I'm Joel Evans, Alexa champion and one of the founding members of our global Alexa lab. I'm here with Jonathan Patrizio, as always, technical advisor and Alexa evangelist. Please say hello, Jonathan.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Jonathan. Before we jump into today's topic, I wanted to give you a little more insight into why we started this podcast. Quite simply, we're big believers in the power of voice. We want to share it with you. So each week, we'll be discussing the latest voice trends and use cases, highlighting the latest features and releases, and of course, answering your questions about getting started with voice in your business. So please reach out if there's anything you'd like to know. And at the end of the podcast, we'll talk a little bit more about that. We've got a nice little form now that you can submit your questions. So with that being said, let's get started. As I mentioned, this is our 8th episode. Last time we covered what we were calling part 3 of the anatomy of a skill, where we focused on our envisioning process and developing a skill and the complexities of design and build. So after listening to the podcast again, Jonathan and I both thought that we rushed our discussion a little bit when it comes to talking about development on the previous episode. So we're going to go into a little bit more depth on the development side, and then we're going to go into publish, and then we're going to wrap up our series. So if you haven't heard the other parts, they are available on mobiquityinc.com/Alexa, so feel free to listen. So we're not going to tell you how to write code specifically, or even go in structuring on your intent handlers. Maybe in future episodes we will. But we're really going to focus on design and build, and then, as I mentioned, going into publish. So Jonathan, let's go a little bit more into the development part of developing a skill. So obviously we talked last time about developing and even getting up into the point of development. So everyone always likes to talk about Agile. We're an Agile development shop. We hit on that a little bit last week. So how does Agile come into play when we're designing and building a custom skill?
Great. Thank you, Joel. We tend to start off very quickly with our development. In fact, our approach, you could even say it's hyper-agile in that we have very quick and short sprints, maybe 1 week sprints versus the sort of 2 standard weeks of sprints that we usually have for a sprint. Inside of sort of at the beginning of it, we're sort of deep in design. We're really beginning to flesh out all of the VUI flows. We like to sort of flow out those dialogues, have different flows for the one-shot intents that we're handling, and basically like figure out, the structure of the thing. And this gives our developers a really great graphical guide on exactly, what they're trying to code. It also helps us to really collaborate with the client, at least get a good sort of graphical way of conveying the dialogue and the structure of that dialogue to whoever we're building this this actual skill for. We also separate from those VUI flows the actual dialogue itself. We tend to do that because words change fairly frequently. You might have a number of different stakeholders looking at the sort of at the brand, making sure that the words match the brand and speak in the voice that's required for the company. So we separate those out, and the flows basically cross-reference the actual dialogue, which is kind of housed separately. And that allows us to then take that dialogue, if necessary, even put it in through a translator. If you're supporting, maybe 2 languages, maybe you're supporting it to be deployed in Germany and also to be deployed in the US, that gives you a great place to actually take that dialogue and actually separately have it translated. And so this generally allows us to sort of get so far with the actual flows, implement the actual dialogue as well, bring it together quickly in code. And all the while, the hyper-agile component of this is, frequent testing. So, while we're actually evolving the dialogue and the actual flows and the actual scope of the intents, we're actually building at the same time. And we're really incorporating, user testing cycles. And I think those are extremely important, that you get to a point of being functionally complete. But, expect that when you go through user testing cycles, that you're going to get a lot of feedback. The feedback will, of course, range in, you know, from the simple to I didn't quite understand what was spoken, or maybe you need to tweak some of the SSML. The SSML is that structured markup language for speech. It allows you to actually make sure that Alexa says something in the right way, and you can put in the various tags to make that, you know, more streamlined, make sure you have the right pauses. To the other very important part is, does the skill have the range of sample utterances needed for every intent? Let me illustrate. That means, you know, a person, you ask one person to express a particular intent, and another person might say it in a completely different way, but a perfectly other valid way. And some of that, you know, spread of sample utterances for a given intent, you only find that out when you invite disparate and, you know, both experienced and completely inexperienced users to actually try out the skill.
That's actually an excellent point, because what people probably don't realize is you don't have to think of every single thing someone's going to say. You have to give Alexa enough of a of an understanding of the range, and then she'll fill in the blanks. But to your point, during that user testing, if someone says, you know, tell me about a dog, or tell me about a cat, or, you know, whatever the case may be, this is a terrible example. I was trying to think of a better example. But if someone gives a close enough utterance to what you were thinking of that they might ask, it still may not have been something that you programmatically told Alexa about, so she could iterate around it. So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I'm hopeful, you know, we might look back at this day where we are the people who have to come up with that exhaustive list of sample utterances. I'm hopeful that at some point we look back on this day and go, oh, that was interesting that we actually had to do that manually. You know, I'm sure the language model, you know, given the number of skills, the 20,000 plus skills out there now, there must be a whole lot of expressed, you know, sample utterances around, you know, particular intents. It would be great if there was a way of, you know, learning from the best and not having to kind of just by hand craft that. But, you know, I'm sure that day will come some point.
Yeah, put that on your future wish list. I like that.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's another component of this, which I've sort of neglected to express, of course. There is the sort of layout of all the components, whether you, you know, deploy them on-prem in .NET, or whether you actually, as we regularly do and most often do, is deploy the business logic for the actual skill on AWS. And we typically build microservices. We use Lambda a whole lot. We use DynamoDB typically to kind of track user sessions. We may well use API Gateway. We regularly use you know, API Gateway to integrate with other backend services that the skill needs to have. We think through carefully, especially with a speech type response, that the content and whatever you're going to be sort of generating in terms of speech responses, or the integration points to those backend APIs, is, you know, very quickly available. I mean, clearly you don't want an API that's a little slow to respond, because that will really affect the response time of the actual skill itself. So we'll think through carefully whether we need to do that direct integration, or whether we need to kind of recache and copy and stage content that is going to be then consumed by the skill. And then, you know, various other components as well. We may integrate into analytics. There's often other, you know, components that we might use. For example, in a skill that we're building right now, we want to change the Alexa voice to actually a Poly voice. So AWS Poly is another service from AWS that lets you do text to speech, which is just different, and you get to pick a range of voices. So that adds some really interesting sort of, you know, different feel about a skill. So integrating that skill and making sure that we're, you know, hooking up correctly is also useful.
Very cool. Yeah, and I think the other part to think about too is, you know, you just mentioned a bunch of different services. On the most basic Alexa skills, you still are actually using an AWS service, and probably people don't even realize it. But if you even start with some of the templates that you can do right away, you're using Lambda, and you're writing, you know, Lambda functions and kind of moving things forward that way. So without even trying, all of a sudden you're actually using an AWS component. And what we love about AWS, especially as a premier partner, plug in there, is the fact that there are just a tremendous amount of different services that you can leverage once you're starting to build your skill. To your point, you can use API Gateway, connect to a variety of different sources. You can put your source data in DynamoDB. You can start hooking in analytics. And then again, the nice thing is that they're always adding new services and adding new fun. Like I just, not too long ago, once you publish a skill now, if you go into your developer login for Alexa, you can see a nice little dashboard and see what type of consumption you're seeing. And before that, you had to go into, I think it was CloudWatch, right? To see how your skill was being consumed. So.
Right. And just one other thing is that, you know, thinking through forward, you're probably going to have development environments, a QA environment. You're maybe going to have a staging and a production environment. And so we will routinely, you know, take some careful time to build out CloudFormation scripts and to think about how we quickly spin this thing up in different environments so that we can kind of repeatably and reliably build this thing, make sure we have the right IAM roles and policies that, you know, give minimal access and you haven't sort of just, you know, been a little careless with the deployment of this skill. Very important when you actually come to the next part, which is the submission.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, and before we get there, we'll just add one more thing. So user testing is always a fun one too. So assume that now we've kind of taken you from the point of, okay, we did some envisioning, we came up with what we want to do for a skill, we took it through design, we did voice design, we did VUI flows like you were talking about, dialogue design approach, we've developed, we've mapped out what AWS components we want to use, we want to do some user testing. A really cool feature that they added not too long ago is the ability to take advantage of the beta testing service. So think back to, you know, iPhone development or Android development. I think iPhone development is more closely aligned because Apple bought a company called TestFlight, so you can beta test using that. Well, you have got something very similar for skills now, and it's called the Alexa Skills Beta Testing Service. So once you've got your skill loaded up and you want to have some people start playing with it, all you need is their email address and they can start testing and giving you feedback, which is pretty awesome. And then once you're happy with it all, we move on to publish. So, you know, I'll quickly as an individual, if I'm publishing, pretty straightforward stuff. I think my skills rock solid. I publish it. Then it goes into a bit of a review queue where there's, I'm sure, automated scripts behind the scenes, but also user, you know, manual sort of testing or certification going on the Alexa side. And they'll come back. If they've got any questions, they'll come back with questions or they'll tell you what you didn't do right. They'll ask you to fix it. You fix it, you resubmit, and you know, you get the green light, it goes live, everybody wins. So that's as an individual. Jonathan, I know publishing as Mobiquity or on behalf of a client, we tend to align with an Alexa business development person. Maybe we take us through that real quick and we can talk about publishing.
Yeah, so think back to part one of the anatomy of a skill a few episodes ago. We actually started off by thinking about, you know, the submission template that we always put in front of clients. And there was a good purpose in that because now we sort of come full circle. And if you remember back in that episode, we talked about a skill name, a skill indication name, the full description, the short description, the icons, all of that work. You know, you've probably had to, you know, now you've got to the end of this development cycle, you know exactly what you did. So it's time to sort of go back, revisit that. Did you hit it? Did you actually have the right description? Because all of that information now becomes extremely important during submission. On behalf of a client, or if we're publishing, we are routinely in touch with the Alexa business development team. They typically assign a solution architect to actually shepherd this thing through the cert process. They're going to test out and make sure that that skill name, an invocation name, it doesn't infringe any brand, any other brands, or if it's actually your brand, you know, it has to be from an Amazon developer account that is owned by, you know, you or your company or the client that's or the agency like Mobiquity that's, you know, building the skill. And then they're also going to test for, you know, how well is the invocation name, how accurate is the language model? Do they have to do anything to the language model in Alexa to make sure that invocation of it will work reliably? So there's that. And then, you know, typically just running through all of the sorts of tests, you know, have you included in the sample utterances your three, you know, most valuable example phrases? They have to be in there. They'll run through a whole gamut of tests. Have you got a sample utterance which actually ties to maybe more than one intent, which is, of course, a no-no as well. And, you know, as they sort of walk through this, it really does help the certification team. If you have those VUI flows, if you have the dialogue and then the test plan, those three assets are of huge value to the Alexa team if you submit those alongside. And I'm not saying that you would necessarily need that for any skill, but typically that's what we would do on behalf of a client, is have all that documentation, which helps really guide the certification team what the functionality is and how it works and what things we tested for. Also, don't forget, if you actually do account linking, you've got to provide them with some, you know, account linking logins and passwords to make sure they can fully test it, you know, without affecting, you know, any particular users. So you might have to set up a sandbox of accounts just so they can actually test the functionality. And then, you know, kind of cross your fingers a bit, you know, hopefully you've done your due diligence and, you know, 5 days go by. I think 3 to 5 days, you should get feedback at that point. You know, don't feel like a failure if it doesn't pass the very first time. That is quite common. You know, the team will get back to you, give you advice on what needs to be fixed and what you may have missed. That's usually pretty good advice. They're you know, fairly good at telling you things that ultimately will improve that experience with your end users, which is ultimately what you want to do too, is to have a great, you know, compelling skill that has good quality.
Right. I think that's an awesome point, by the way, is a lot of times people think, oh, they're policing it, they're reviewing it. They're really reviewing it to ensure that the millions of users out there have the best possible voice experience with your skill. So don't think of it as like, oh, you know, I hope I don't break the rules. I mean, certainly they're going to look for rule breaking too, but it's really more about making sure that you've built the best possible experience for your users. So I think
absolutely,
that's an awesome point.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think well, I think that wraps up our you know, multi-part series. But I'd like to offer something out to the users too. Is if you'd like to, you know, as I mentioned, you go to mobiquityinc.com/Alexa. We'll redirect you to the right spot, and there's a little reach out link down in the right down in under the tune in to find your voice. And inside, if you click that reach out link, you get a little comment form. What I'd like to offer up is, we've talked about sort of 4 different stages. Jonathan just mentioned again our sort of publishing page, all the things you need to think about that you can fill in. We'd love to offer that up to any of you listeners out there. If you want to reach out to us and ask us, we've got a couple of things that we can share to get you to start thinking about it, some artifacts we can share. And we'd be happy to have another conversation with you around what you're doing with your skill and any challenges that you've come up across. So feel free to reach us at that reach out link, again, mobiquityinc.com/Alexa. You can also hear our previous episodes there as well. So I think, Jonathan, didn't know if there was anything else you wanted to add. Otherwise, we can certainly wrap up our Anatomy of a Skill series. And I think for next week, one of the things I've been thinking about lately is I've been taking my Echo for granted in my house. So I think maybe what we can cover is some other uses of the Echoes.
Yeah, great. Looking forward to it.
Cool. All right. Well, as always, I've mentioned it multiple times, but certainly feel free to click the reach out, and we'd be happy to discuss some of your latest challenges with you. And that's it for today.